fabulous. Now that you understand step number one of the 10 steps to increasing your sales, let's move quickly into steps two and three to close the session out. Now be sure that you participate actively as you do this. Do the exercises that Tony asks, yell back the answers, and do the steps to engage your physiology. And I'll talk to you at the end. So here we go.
So let's say you're prepared now. You absolutely know who you're dealing with, what their needs are, you know your product, you know your competition. You're absolutely clear that you can handle any objection that could possibly come up. You're prepared for the worst, but you're expecting the best. Maybe you even created some demand. What do we do next? What's a second step to sales mastery? Well, I think you remember what it is. You clearly remember, don't you? Turn yourself on, absolutely. And turning yourself on, if you recall, means putting yourself in the kind of state that can really produce the results you want. Remember, peak performance comes from being in a peak state. And the quickest way to change our state emotionally, no matter where we were, is to change where we're using our body. So what I want to do is just take a couple of minutes to teach you a little technique that I've used with myself and with a lot of professional athletes and with a lot of business people that's helped me to get myself in a peak state. Now, the way we're going to do this is real simple. I want you to create a word that you can link massive, massive emotional or state change to. And I also want you to link it to a specific anchor. In other words, what I want you to be able to do is just go, yes, and instantly be at your peak. Now, you can use whatever anchors you want after this, but for now, I just want you to apply that, and I'll show you why. Certain words put us in state just by the phonetic combination or syntax. For example, when you say the word but, it feels different than if you say a word like and. And even if you try and say the word but nicely, and you go, but, it doesn't have the same impact. So the word yes is a word that has within it some built-in anchors. We like to hear yes, and it also phonetically creates a certain state in our bodies. So the first thing I want you to do is, I want you to be able to put yourself at a level of state that's very, very powerful. Let's first start out by just saying the word yes without having any expectation. I want you to shout the word yes when I say now, and just really go for it. And I want you to notice what it feels like in your body when you say the word yes, okay? Let's try it. Just go ahead and say the word yes now.
Yes!
Try it one more time, nice and strong.
Yes!
Excellent. Now, notice how it feels. Try it one more time really strong.
Yes!
Excellent. Now, notice how that feels for a second. And now what I want you to do is say the word no, and notice how that feels. Go ahead and say the word no now.
No!
All right, well then say the word yes.
Yes!
And then say the word no.
No!
Say the no again.
No!
Say no again.
No!
Say yes.
Yes!
Notice, how many of you really feel a difference in your body? Is it my hallucination, or can you really feel the difference between those two words? Great, most of you. So what we're going to do is we're going to link this word yes and a physical move to a peak, peak state. Now, when I say peak, peak state, here's what I mean. When I worked with athletes, one of the things I noticed about athletes is this. You watch most athletes, they know that in order to get peak performance, that they really have got to put themselves in a peak state. So different kinds of athletes do different things to get in a peak state. You know, watch a tennis player, you know, he bounces the ball a certain number of times, a certain number of ways, throws it up, and bam, hits it. You watch a football player, he beats the heck out of the head of his buddy, you know. You watch the guy smacking heads, right, to get themselves in a peak state. You watch a baseball player, he spits, you know. And adjusts his cap, other parts of his body, and lines up here, right, you know. So they know, when I've worked with athletes, I've worked with quite a few Olympic athletes and quite a few professionals. And the thing that I work with them on, number one above anything else, is state. And what I mean by that is, most of these athletes think, well, am I ready or am I not? Life and state are not quite that black and white. We have different levels of intensity of state. So one day, in working with some athletes, I said, look, I worked with an Olympic swimmer. He ended up winning the gold medal after our work. He was going up against a gentleman who he had only beat once in competition in his life. And so what I did is I got him back into that kind of state and showed him how to trigger it. But the thing I did with him initially, and the thing I've done with athletes ever since, and a lot of businessmen, is I said, instead of are you in state or are you not, let's measure it. Let's do something really silly and dumb. Where are you on a scale from 0 to 10? Now again, 10 being absolute peak, 0 being like, oh God, you're not even here, you're not even alive, there's no way you could do this possibly. 10 is you're absolutely unstoppable, more intense than you've ever been in your entire life, that kind of intensity. Now, when you go to see the customer, if you want to be effective, what you've got to do is put yourself in a state that's so far beyond what you need to be at when you warm yourself up, so that when you relax at level 9. rather than being in a position where you get yourself going and you never quite make it. So the point is, what I want you to do is be able to trigger yourself, be able to turn yourself on. And the way I do it, for example, when I'm going to do a seminar, I alluded to it earlier, is I make a series of very intense moves, explosive moves. Again, I push myself way beyond what I would do in front of the customer or in front of a crowd, probably. But what it does is it pushes me. It's like learning to speed read. The way you learn to speed read, besides the fundamentals, is you push yourself to the point where you're turning the pages as fast as you can. Now, when you slow down, you might slow down to 1,000 words a minute instead of 250, and it feels like you're crawling. It's the principle of contrast. What I want is to be in such a peak state that when you relax, you do it at level 9 or 8, but nothing below that. So the difference between a professional and amateur, over and over again I've told you this, is your ability to manage your state. And what you've got to do is make absolutely certain that every single time you go to be with a customer, you put yourself in a peak state. Not so you're sweating, but where you're really there. Boom, yes! Will you feel absolutely committed? You feel congruent that when you go into that meeting, you're going to come out with the sale and with that person totally happy because you've met their needs. This is critical. But if all you do is you don't develop this as a habit, see, that's why I make this one of the 10 steps. You're prepared and you're turned on. If you're turned on, you're going to be able to persuade and influence other people. If you're not, it's not going to happen. I'll tell you another challenge. Listen carefully. The problem with not being in a peak state is, remember, selling is transferring emotions, right? Transferring those feelings. And if you're not in a peak state, you immediately, it's like cutting off an arm. It's like cutting off some skills or some abilities immediately. It's cutting off the juice that creates the connection that makes somebody want to buy. In addition, though, not only by you not even being as great a state, do they not feel as great, and therefore they link what to your product? Not so great feelings, not so great feelings, not so great feelings. Pretty soon they think your product, they don't feel so great. But I'll tell you the other problem. The other problem is when you're not in a really great state, and you talk about your product, and you're feeling kind of lousy, you talk about your product, feeling kind of lousy, talk about your product, feeling kind of lousy, talk about your product, you begin to associate lousy feelings to your own product. See, that's the real scary part. You want to know why you got to manage your state every day? It's not just for the sale that's right here in front of you. It's also so that you can have future sales, because otherwise you begin to anchor negative feelings to your own product. Next time you talk about your product, you don't feel so good and you don't even know why. So you know what a lot of people do? They have a career that lasts, oh, anywhere from a year to 3 years in a place, and then pretty soon they think their product is horrible. All it is all these negative emotions. It may not even been about the product. Maybe they had problems at home that day. And sure enough, now they're talking about the product, feeling lousy, and it got linked. So what do? They go on to try and sell something else. Slight problem. They take themselves with them. Right? And sure enough, in another 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, that product's pretty lousy. Same thing happens in relationships, doesn't it? Sure enough, you're in a lousy state. You see your spouse's face. You talk to them about something. And if you stay in a lousy state, see their face. You're in a lousy state, see their face. You're in a lousy state, see their face. Anytime you're in a very intense feeling state, anything that happens around you consistently gets linked or anchored. Pretty soon, you have a great day. Come home, can't wait to see your spouse. One look at them, all of a sudden, you feel pretty angry. How many of you ever experienced something like this? See, you got to be aware, anytime you're in an intense state, or anyone else is, anything around it that's happening consistently gets linked, gets anchored, and it'll get triggered in the future. So you better be real careful, and that's why you've got to manage your state every single time you're with the customer. Again, I want you to think right now, how much money have you lost in the last 3 years because you've not consistently put yourself in a peak state? I want you to, right now, I want you to sit down and write down on a piece of paper the actual dollar amount. And by the way, don't exaggerate. And don't underestimate either. How much money have you lost in the last 3 years just because you haven't consistently managed your state? Again, include sales that you didn't even make because you just didn't feel like making calls. Include people you didn't follow through with. Include people who gave you objections and you just didn't have enough intensity and certainty and power within yourself to overcome the objections. Put all that together and come up with a figure that's fairly accurate. Don't exaggerate and don't underestimate either. Be as accurate as you think you can be. And now you've written that down, write down an answer to a second question, which is even more important. How much has it cost you emotionally in the last 3 years not to manage your state consistently? When I say cost you emotionally, I mean how much additional frustration have you had just because you didn't manage your state? When you're frustrated, all you have to do is break the pattern. That is, interrupt your pattern. Interrupt the way you're using your body. What if you're really angry? All of a sudden, you saw yourself in a mirror. Have you ever had that happen? You go, ooh, scary stuff, right? Or when that happens, all of a sudden, just smile. For no reason. You don't even feel like smiling. It'll change your state. But the point is, how much does it cost you emotionally in terms of frustration, pain, anger, anguish, regret? I know that's not as easy to measure, but it's probably more painful than even the money. Because, see, you can replace the money. You can't replace those moments that you wasted. And what will it cost you over the next 10 years if you don't change this pattern? What I'm doing right now is trying to motivate you a little bit. But see, again, I'm not supplying the motivation by telling you the reality. You're telling yourself the reality by answering my questions. Think how hard you work to earn that kind of money. The number of calls you have to make. Wouldn't it just have been easier to change your state and be at a peak during those times? Plus, wouldn't you just enjoy the selling process a whole lot more if you're doing it from this state than the state you normally do it from? So my challenge to you is to absolutely go for it and manage your state every single time. And so all you got to do is establish a habit. How many of you would be willing to take that old 21-day test and for 21 days consistently make it a discipline, consciously, even if you don't feel like it, for 21 days you absolutely will change your state just by, yes, right before you get in front of the client. Whether it be in your car, you go, oh, I can't do that. Somebody might notice. Doesn't matter. Boom, just do it this way. Put yourself in state. How many people want to do that? Say yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Think about the rewards you'll get by doing that. What would your life be like over the next 5 years if you consistently manage your state by changing your physiology? What would your career be like? How much more would you enjoy yourself? How much more money would you make? See, this is a simple thing, but sometimes simple things make the biggest difference. I'll tell you the problem for most people in life. Most people don't succeed because they major in minor things. This is not a minor. It may be small, but it's not minor. Physiology and state is a major. So every time you're getting the customer, ask yourself some good questions and put yourself in a great physiology. And what I want you to do is when you find yourself at a low, write it down and then immediately change. Immediately kick yourself up. And how could you kick yourself up into ecstasy? Do you have to have something happen in your life for you to feel ecstasy? No. Yes or no?
No.
All you got to do is change. Try right now. Sit the way you'd be sitting if you were in ecstasy. Oh, come on, try it. Breathe the way you'd be breathing if you were in ecstasy. Put the kind of look like you'd have on your face if you were in absolute total ecstasy. You're making the sounds of ecstasy now too, huh? Really feel it, go for it. And while you're feeling ecstasy, think about making contacts, the next section of this process.
Before we go into the next step, I want to be sure that you answered the questions. How much money have you lost by not managing your state in the past? And what was the emotional cost? And let me give you a perfect example. It wasn't too long ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she had just purchased a home. Well, I had purchased a home a few months ago as well. And as it turns out, I paid much less for my home than she did hers, by actually almost a couple of $100,000. Now, that's a lot. I live in California, so real estate is ridiculous out here. But here was the reality. When I started talking to her, she was amazed because her house is smaller than mine. And she asked me, how did you wind up paying less for your home? And I said, well, I just, because they were advertised for about the same amount. And I said, I asked if they would take less for the home. And I said, did you ask? And she goes, no, I thought about it, but I didn't do it. And I asked her, why didn't you do it? What stopped you? And she goes, well, I was afraid that they would think I was cheap, or I was afraid that I would insult them, and I was afraid of what they would think. Now listen, she said afraid three or four times as she was saying it. And what is afraid? It's just a state. So because she didn't manage her state, and she didn't put herself in a courageous state or a certain state like I did, she actually paid more for the home. Now, I have a certain belief, and that is, I'm going to ask because they've only got two things they can say, yes or no. And either one, I get to deal with whatever it is. But I also know that in doing it, I'm going to at least find out. So I managed my state. And by the way, my state I've managed a long time ago by doing a lot of the exercises that you're doing now and are going to learn to do by doing them over and over again. So I didn't have to think about it. As I look back on it, I didn't feel one iota of fear when I asked if they would take a lower price than what they were offering. Now, also, as you can imagine, she just felt terrible. I felt sorry for her. The emotional cost on her was horrible. You could see they're looking. There was no backtracking. Obviously, they're not going to give her the money back. Not in California. I don't know anywhere they're going to. So as you think about it, perhaps there were times in your life that you didn't step up and do something, or perhaps that you didn't ask for a different price or anything. Think about that. When was a time in your life that it cost you financially? And then, as a result, what did it cost you emotionally? So, did you get some leverage on yourself? I sure hope so. Now, also, we want to make sure that you complete step number 2 before we move on to step number 3. So as you listen to the rest of this audio, think about other ways that you can apply this, what you're learning. Perhaps how that you can help your kids maybe have fun doing the things that they don't like doing, maybe homework or doing their chores, etc. So let's finish up step 2, and then we'll move on to step number 3, entitled, Connect and Become Their Best Friend.